Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Craig Stanforth. I've spoken here before, and I guess I did okay because you guys invited me back. So you get to hear me one more time, I guess, here. Today I want to speak about freedom. Obviously, we sang about that this morning in a lot of songs, and that's going to be the theme. And I hope my little talk this morning enlightens us and is a blessing to you about our freedom in Christ. You know, when we speak about freedom and we learn about it in history, we find out that the vast majority of human history is about enslavement, not about freedom. It's about tyrannical dictatorships, oppressive governments who basically go down on its people and enslave them. If you study history, and I've studied a lot of it, and I know Walt and I are big fans of it. Yesterday we were talking about it. But if you look at history, you'll find that that's the way it is. It's not the norm to be free. That's why it's great to have this country. We have an experiment, so to speak, in liberty. And we fail sometimes, but we always strive to give human liberty and human freedom. Declaration of Independence says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." You see, the freedoms that we enjoy don't come from the government, but when they wrote the Declaration, they wrote this country up, they said, our freedoms come from God Himself. So that's an important thing to understand where our freedoms come from. On June 6, 1944, about 70 years ago, we just got done looking at the 70th anniversary of it, of the invasion of D-Day, the largest armada that has ever been assembled in world history, went across the English Channel. 160,000 troops landed on a 50-mile stretch of the French beach in Normandy. General Eisenhower said, "We will accept nothing less than victory." 5,000 ships, 13,000 aircraft. And by the end of the day, 9,000 Allied soldiers lay dead on the beach of Normandy. And yet, hundreds of thousands of soldiers went up those beaches and pushed the Nazis off the beaches of Germany, off of France, and later would defeat Nazism. Well, it wasn't on the news that I saw, but up here's a picture of Normandy, and there was a group called International Peace that decided to take these little outlines of a body, and they put them on the beach, and they scratched the beach sand, and they etched out on the sand 9,000 bodies on the sands of Normandy and what it would look like. And the people of Normandy saw what these people were doing, and the town joined in and started putting it on there too. And by the end of the day, they had 9,000 of these etched out bodies on the beach. It's pretty amazing. Soon the waves came in, washed out the bodies, and it was gone. There was a battle that was fought many years ago that we sang about this morning. It was the battle that was fought on Mount Calvary at the cross of Jesus Christ. The greatest battle that was ever fought for our freedom was fought, and it was maybe insignificant in some people's eyes, but it is something that the waves of time has not taken away, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus fought for our freedom. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power." It said, "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary," some of you know that song, "it will never, ever lose its power. It flows to the lowest valley, the highest mountain, and yet it will never, ever lose its power. The cross is so important to us as Christians as we look at it for the fact that it is our freedom that Jesus came to give us. In John, the 8th chapter, verse 31, Jesus says this, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free.'" The truth will set you free. But listen to this. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in a family, but a son belongs to it forever. And if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Now there's a few things we got to learn from this. First of all, some of these key words. Truth. What does the word truth really mean when he's talking about here? Because in our society today, we often like, well, truth is to you, what is true through there, you know, everyone has their own idea of truth, okay? But this isn't what Jesus is speaking about here. He's speaking about honest to goodness, God, truth. What is the reality? You know, sometimes the reality just kind of hits you, like, oh, that's what I really am, or that's what it really is. In fact, if you look at the word in the Greek, the word truth really means reality unveiled. It's being unveiled. It's kind of like being at a museum or some place where I've never been to one, so I don't know what the heck I'm talking about, but you know, where they put the veil over the top and they take one off and everybody goes, "Ooh, look at that." That's the way truth is. In fact, it kind of hits us. It's the truth, and suddenly it's unveiled, and we look at it, and we go, that is the truth of what it is. And also free. What does the word free mean? Well, basically, it just simply means you're liberated. We are liberated. We are free from something. We're going to talk about that. Next one is we are a slave. Now, a slave is no permanent place. Jesus talks about slave. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. Slave means you're in bondage. And so the very fact is that we need a Savior. The world needs someone to save them, to rescue them. And the good news about Christianity isn't that if we are good enough. The very fact of Christianity is that if we are humble enough to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our rescuer, then guess what? We can have freedom. And notice that the freedom that he talks about isn't just the truth. He says, yeah, the truth will set you free, but it's just not knowing the truth. What does he say at the end? He says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. It's the work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who sets us free. It's from him. It's not just having a knowledge of this. It's the very fact of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he will set us free. Now, when I was going to talk about this sermon, I was going to call it "I Am Free." Okay? But I kind of got a little tired of, in the church, we don't talk about we. We talk about individuals. Well, it's kind of like there's too much I in this. So I want to talk about we are free. Because if you are a part of Jesus Christ and you are in the church and you are his bride, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ that will never lose its power. Guess what? We are free. Okay? And that's what it's all about. It's we as a church. You know, I kind of, sometimes we sing songs and we got too much I in it. You know, what happened to some of those old songs I just love? It says, remember the ones, "We are marching to Zion"? We as a church? Well, guess what, church? We are free. We are a body of people who are free. And what are we free from? That's what's the most important thing we got to talk about here. The first thing we are free from, we are free from the devil. Now, I'm going to give you a devil sermon that I heard from somebody. And I know when I'm done, it's short, okay? But if you think it's kind of corny, it's okay. It's just the devil sermon. He goes, I want to talk about the devil. The devil is something you want to stay away from. You see, if you take the D away from the devil, you got evil. And that's what the devil is. He's evil. And if you take the E away from devil, you got vile. And that's what he is. He's vile. And if you take the V away, you got ill. And that's what you're going to be if you follow the devil. And if you take the I away, you got L. And that's where you're going to end up. That's enough of that, okay? Man, I don't know how those guys do that every Sunday. I wouldn't have a voice left if I kept doing that. Anyway, John 8 says this. And this is their reply to Jesus. He says, hey, listen, Abraham is our father, they answered. Abraham is our father. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. Now, that's not an easy way to make friends by saying stuff like that, but Jesus said it. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and a father of lies. Wow. He speaks his native language. He's a liar. He doesn't tell the truth. I didn't know this, but we as human beings are bilingual all the time because we speak. We can lie and we speak the language of the devil. Anybody here lie before? I have plenty of times. Okay? Well, when we do that, we speak just like the devil speaks. And Jesus goes on, he says, yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Wow. Isn't that something? I mean, the very fact that we're looking at human life and the very fact that we are held captive by the devil. And Jesus knew this, and he spoke the truth. We're a part of what Satan's empire is. And you're enslaved by it. Remember that story in Ohio? It happened in Cleveland, Ohio. Three women were taken captive by a man for 10 years. It's a horrific story. A story of sex slavery right here in this country. He took them captive for 10 years, kept them down in the basement. They bore some of his children, and they just found out the police are looking for the bodies of the aborted babies that were killed after these women became pregnant. Well, I think we heard about the rest of the story. One of them got loose. And she came running down the street. And the first person she came to, she hugged him and says, we are slaves. Save us. In fact, this guy was a hero today. I mean, he went ahead and did what he had to do. And they found out that these women were kept captive. But finally, they're free. You know, My wife makes fun of me sometimes because I'm just terrible. I look at movies and I cry. I don't know why. I know I shouldn't be admitting that as a guy, but last night she put on the movie A Walk to Remember. I've never seen it before. My kids, it was a long time ago, and you know, the girl's dying of cancer, and I knew it. I start crying, and I just can't take it. So, all right, I saw this movie with my daughters. I was down in Texas working down at the Air Force Base in San Angelo, Texas, and we went to go see Rapunzel. Do you remember that? There's my daughter there. Yeah, we went to see Rapunzel. And there, you know, Disney has some great movies with some great parables in it. And Rapunzel, you know the story, Rapunzel, she was a little girl that was born to the king and the queen, and she was special, and suddenly this evil woman comes and steals Rapunzel because she had special powers, and these powers made this evil woman live forever. And so this evil woman took Rapunzel as a little infant, put her in this secluded castle up on this big tower. That's what I'm looking for, tower. And she was up there, and she lived her whole life, but as she grew up, she thought this was her mother, and she knew something was different about her. She was special in some way. She couldn't figure it all out. And of course, you know, she at the end, the whole thing, she escapes. This guy helps her escape. She has this amazing flock of hair and blah, blah, blah. And then she finds out that she's actually the daughter of the king and the queen. Well, there's some parables here. The very fact that we as humans, that God loves us. And by the way, when the last time I spoke here, we spoke about the love of God. That God loves us so much, but the human race is lost. We are under the enslavement of sin and of Satan, and the very fact of our condemnation under him. And yet God does something amazing. He sends his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to take our punishment and take away our sin. And he sets us free. And we find out that we really are the sons and the daughters of the king. It is the work of the devil to keep mankind captive and to be held as slaves to sin. You know, and the thing is that even as we are Christians, this still comes back. We still get, this devil still gets a hold of us. You know, in Timothy, you ever been in a church that is split because of stupid arguments? I have. Have you ever been in one? It's just crazy. Well, Paul knew about this, and of course the scriptures write, and 2 Timothy 2:23, he speaks to the pastors of the church and he says, "Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone." See, that's why I'm not a full-time pastor, because I cannot be kind to everyone. Okay, that's just not made that way, can't do that. And the other thing is, can't be quarrelsome, because I love to quarrel sometimes. Okay, so there we go. I'm right out of that. He's able to teach, but don't be resentful. He says, opponents must be gently instructed and hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of truth. And listen to this. And they will come to their senses, we hope and pray, and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to his will. See, there's weakness in all of us. And the very fact that, yes, we have been set free doesn't mean that sometimes Satan doesn't get a hold of us. Because he gets a hold of us. We're all sinners, every one of us. And we're weak in that way. 1 John 3:8 says that God has come to destroy the work of the devil. Dear children, don't let anyone keep you astray. And one who does what is righteous just as he is righteous. And the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. That's why Jesus came. Second of all, we are free from the consequence of our sins, our condemnation. Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You know, there is a great show on TV, and when you watch it, it kind of just makes you kind of sick. You ever seen Intervention before? Okay, nobody's seen it. Okay. Intervention, you got to watch it on TV sometimes. They take these people who are actually addicted to drugs, okay, or some other things. It could be alcohol, whatever. And they actually say they do a reality show, and they follow them around for a few weeks showing what their life is like. And then unbeknownst to the person who's in the addiction, they have an intervention set up. They don't even know about it. They have the family come in, they have counselors there, and they go, look, we're tired of this, your life is the way it is. We're not going to help you out anymore unless you go to counseling, unless you go to intervention, and you go, you know, to Betty Ford or wherever they send them to, okay? And it's very interesting to see the confrontation in their lives, because some of their lives are just so, they just can't get away from it, whether it's meth, whether it's alcohol. There's one lady who was a teacher, and she was working with kids and all this stuff, came in alcoholism, and she was such an alcoholic, she was going to the drugstore and buying mouthwash, and she was drinking it. And you would never believe, and her life was just torn apart. Her family confronts her. And that's the way sin is. It just takes you where you don't want to go. It takes you further, and you become more of a slave. And this is the very fact of who we are. You see, the very fact of what we are as human beings is this. God created us a soul, and he imprinted in us his image within us, and we have a soul. But we also are made out of the flesh. And the very fact of our condemnation before God is under both. I have broken the laws of God, and I deserve, and I am guilty. My soul is guilty, and I live in a corrupt world, and my flesh is corrupt. It's eventually going to die. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, because he has saved me and taken away my condemnation. I know that my soul has been set free. It's no longer under guilt. But guess what, folks? I still have this flesh that I carry around. And even though I was baptized into Christ and I was raised up anew, the flesh still came out of that water. And that flesh is going to continue to struggle till the day it is put in the grave. Paul knew what I was talking about. In fact, I got my idea from him. What am I talking about? Romans 7 says this, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. I'm sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate to do. It's kind of like if you ever play golf with me, it's the same way. Because if you ever play golf with me, I want the ball to go straight, but it doesn't go straight. It goes over there and hits somebody's window, okay? And my son will only allow me to play where there's no houses around. For if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my flesh, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It just keeps on going. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin that's living in me. Now, is Paul talking about what his life was like before Christ? Or is he talking about his life now? He's talking about his life now. It's a struggle. In fact, Paul goes on, who will rescue me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my flesh, in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. And he says this, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You see, that's us. That's we as the church. There is now no condemnation for we who are part of Jesus Christ, who are in the church. Even though we are weak, we fail, we sin. But guess what? We hate the sin that's in us. We struggle with it. We don't allow Satan to keep us captive to it at all. You know, again, watching a movie, how many people saw Armageddon with Bruce Willis? You remember Bruce Willis? Okay, it's a great movie. You got to see it if you go to rent it. It's very, very much reality. There's a huge meteorite who's coming to blow up the earth. Okay, and this meteorite that's coming to the earth, they have to get this, basically this roughneck to go up there and blow it up. Okay, so they get Bruce Willis, and of course he has a nuclear bomb, and he has a daughter, and he tells his daughter, "Hey, look, I'll be back. I promise you, I'll be back." You know, so they go up to outer space and they go chasing after the meteorite that's heading to the earth, and they drill on the meteorite and they put the bomb in, but it doesn't go off remotely. Okay, so Bruce Willis has to go and manually blow up the bomb. Okay, which eventually will blow him up too. He'll go with the meteorite. And of course, he's on there and he telecasts down to his daughter. And he tells his daughter, "I won't be able to keep my promise," you know. And so he blows it up and the meteorite splits in two and goes around the earth. And the world is saved. Everyone's happy. And except for his daughter, it's bittersweet because she lost her dad. So, see, and I got a tear right here. See, got a tear. Okay. And so, but this is an analogy to us. The world is condemned. The world without God, it'd be full of darkness. And yet, what was coming our way was taken away by the cross of Jesus Christ. It was His work. You see, that gave us freedom. You know, Bob Dylan wrote a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And that certainly is true. You have to serve somebody. And that's the way it is with us. Romans 6:22 says, "But now that you've been set free from sin," guess what? "Become slaves of God." You see, you're going to have to choose who you want to be to have your master. You've got to serve somebody, as Bob Dylan says. You can either serve the devil or you can serve God. Either one. The Old Testament has a great example about slavery. In the Old Testament, if you could not pay your debt, okay, you didn't declare bankruptcy back then. Thank God we have that today, okay? But back then, if you couldn't pay your debt, you became an indentured servant to the one you owed the money to. And that's the way it was. You wrote down an agreement. Okay, I'll work free for the next 3 years or the next 4 years. And you became a slave to that person till you worked off your debt. Now, God also allowed every 7 years to be a year of Jubilee. And the year of Jubilee, all the slaves were set free. But the scripture says this: if the year of Jubilee and you are set free, but if the slave says to himself, "My life is much better under my master than me being free," then he'll go to his master and he'll say, "I will be your slave forever." And the master will take an awl and he will pierce his ear. In very fact, if you wore a pierced ear back then, meant you were a slave. You see, folks, we got to choose who our master is. We want to be under a good master, and God is good. We want to be under a loving master, and God is loving to us. Third thing, we are free from fear. Fear. You know, there are 365 commands in the Bible that say, "Do not fear." I don't know if God intended to do that, but there's one for every day of the year, okay? Except for leap year, okay? So, These commands are given to us by God because He does not want us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to be cowards. Jesus says, I am with you always. Always. In fact, there's, you know, of course you've heard the old joke. That's why the preacher says he doesn't fly, right? Why don't you fly, preacher? Well, because Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. Okay, so, okay, that's an old preacher's joke. I just threw it in there. People heard that before. I know it's corny. So anyway, but we are free from fear. We're free from worry. Worry about tomorrow. We're told by Jesus, do not worry about tomorrow. God is in control. And we are free from the fear of death. Man, that's a beautiful thing. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? And Jesus was taking his time to get that. Lazarus was sick, and yet he took his time to get to the town. And they found out that Lazarus had actually died, and Jesus says, oh, he's not dead, he's asleep. And he gets to the town, and they come out, and they find out that if you were only here sooner, Jesus, he wouldn't have died. Do you remember the desperation? It's an amazing story. And Jesus says, goes to the tomb, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. Maybe the very fact of our death is kind of like sleep. Maybe that's the way it is. We shouldn't fear it. God's got something better in store for us. There's a guy named Tony Campolo. He tells a funny story. He says he's this been to a funeral down south. And I know funerals out here in the West are kind of different. If you ever lived back east, you realize how different they really are. Here, we cremate the body and just have a little memorial service. It's almost like we take death away from people. We're trying to hide it. You go back east, and not that it's not done here, but oftentimes you go to the country or go to different places, the body is right there in front of the church, open. And he says, here I was, this Italian preacher from Philadelphia, and I went down south, and I was at this black church. And I'd never been one before, and they invited me to a funeral. And he says, I was there, and the first thing it took me was the body laid right out in front. And the preacher got up, and he goes, now, George was a good man. And he started talking about George. And he said, George, you were a good husband and a good provider for your family. And we all appreciate that. And he went down and he spoke to the family about George. And he went over to the church and he spoke about George. And then he said, George, that's about it. That's all there is to say, George. It's over. It's all gone. So there's only one left thing to say, George. And he reaches up and he takes the top of that coffin. He shuts it down. He goes, good night, George. And he turns around to the congregation and says, good night, George. But I know the Lord's going to give you a good morning. And then the choir gets up and starts singing that getting up, good morning. When the dead in Christ shall rise. See, that's what it means not to fear death. But to very fact that, yeah, it's just a chapter, just a blink of the eye. And God's got more in store for us. Jesus came to set us free from our condemnation, set us free from the grip of the devil, and set us free from the fear of worry, the fear of death. The last point is this. We are free from, but we are free to. And what are we free to be? We are free to be a blessing to other people. And this is what I really want to leave you with. If we have all this freedom, what do we use our freedom for? It's very important. We are free to be a blessing. Live as God's slaves. Called to be free. Serve one another. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, Paul says, even though I am free, I have made myself a slave to others. To serve them.
In John, the 15th chapter, in fact, the book of John is very, very, such a neat book, and the very fact that the other books take the life of Christ and they expand through 3 years, the book of John really focuses over 75% of it to the last week of Christ. It all leads to the cross in the book of John. And Jesus, when he was speaking to the Jews who believed him, and this is who he's speaking to in John 8, but then he continues in John 15, and he says to the Jewish people, he says, listen, you believe in me, but you got to understand that I am the vine and you are the branches. You've read the rest of it. If you remain in him, you will bear fruit. That's why our freedom is here, so that we can be a blessing to other people. We can show the fruit of the Spirit. We can help people. We can show Jesus Christ living in us. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father God, we thank you so much for grace, for loving us when we were basically slaves and enemies of Satan himself. We thank you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross. And Father, that we have a freedom in our conscience, that even though our flesh is weak and that we sin, we know that grace covers. Thank you. And Father, I pray that as we even leave these doors, that we look for ways to use our freedom to bless others. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for our freedom. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.